Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I welcome you all here to Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And although we are gathered in the midst of grief, saying our goodbyes to a beloved friend, beloved husband, father, grandfather, we are here, though, especially to find comfort in the presence and the words of God. The reason why we are here this morning is because even in the midst of our grief and pain, we still have a reason to rejoice. And though we say our goodbyes to Lester, we know that it is never goodbye forever for those who trust in the Lord. Our God is the God of the living, he says. And he says elsewhere that he who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. This morning I pray that these words may be encouraging to us and to build us up and to trust in his promises for us today. May we come before him now with our first hymn, 770, which you can find in your hymnal. As you are able, would you please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Lester was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all of his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the temple and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Lester and to all your servants, who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 2. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, especially to you, Louise, and family and friends of Leicester, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a trustworthy saying that Jesus gives us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Which basically means that that which is in the heart of a man is going to reveal itself by the words they speak. It's a pretty straightforward observation, and yet by looking at it, you can tell a whole lot about a person. By simply listening to them, you can learn all about their interests and values. Their speech is going to tell you the things that they love and cherish. Well, when it comes to Lester, I think it's very clear what the abundance of his heart was full of. For one thing, anyone who met him learned very early on that one of the things that filled his heart was joy. How he just loved to joke around and tease people. He loved having fun. I remember the first time visiting you, Louise, and Lester at your house here in Sweet Springs. And after our visit, I simply said something along the lines that I should probably be running off now. And Lester, he questioned me and he teased me, saying, "Well, didn't you drive? Why are you running?" Actually, it proved to be a rather bad habit of mine, because I seemed to end our visits every time that way. It was a hard habit to shake, and I started to catch myself, but every time I said I needed to run off, Lester would give me the same quip, but in just different ways. Says, "Sounds like you have your running shoes on," or "Sounds like by now you need a new pair of shoes." Everyone who knew Lester knew him as a man full of both joy and love as he teased and joked with people. And I'm sure that's where the family all gets their sense of humor from. I can't even count the number of inside jokes that are going on this morning. Introducing yourselves as outlaws rather than in-laws. Putting a dollar bill in the casket to express how we've got to pay him back for the cookies. All of these things. It's like father, like children. But when it wasn't jokes that were freely flowing from his mouth, at such times, we were able to see other things which filled the abundance of Lester's heart as well. I really loved visiting Lester and Louise at their home in Sweet Springs. Every visit, Lester, he would actually walk me through his Sunday morning routine, and it was actually such a beautiful thing. I never got tired of it. "This is where I sit," he'd tell me. "This is where Mother sits. This is where we put the radio. And this is how we listen to God's Word every week." Truly, out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth spoke. And what a glorious comfort this brings us, knowing that Lester's heart was full of faith and with a love for God. He truly loved Sunday mornings. And even when he could no longer come to church, even still though, he made sure to still tune in and listen. Lester's heart, it was full of a love for God. And what a blessed assurance we have then, knowing that Lester is today enjoying full communion with the lover of his soul. And that he stands before the throne of God with a renewed mind, with pains having ceased, standing there in glory, gazing upon his Creator and Redeemer. For this is what God has promised to those who love him, and to all who are his by grace through faith. In fact, dear friends, this is why Jesus came to this world, our world, to die. The Lord Jesus has come seeking to put an end to all of our pain and suffering. Something, again, which Lester is enjoying right now. Now, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and the corruptions of the body, they're all ailments that we suffer from the results of living in a corrupt and fallen world. But we are assured by God's word that He has come to put an end to all of that corruption. He has come to make all things new. He came some 2,000 years ago to die for the forgiveness of sins. He came once to bring the peace of God to sinners. He came once before, revealing the Father's love, dying as a substitute in the place of sinners on the cross. He came bringing mercy and grace upon all who would call upon Him. But truly, He is coming again soon to once and for all put an end to all of our sorrows. He's coming again to raise the bodies of these people, to give them glorified and perfected bodies, to rid the world of all death, sorrows, pains, and tears forever. And what glorious news, dear friends, that by grace through faith in Jesus, we shall see Lester again. And this is a fact that I am sure about, having seen personally the faith, the love and humility that was in Lester's heart, and the faith that clung ever so tightly to the mercies of God. You know, few of us truly understand and know the struggles of getting old, where you are no longer able to get your body to do the things you want it to do. I'm sure that struggling to do simple tasks is a recipe for frustration. And I don't say this to speak badly about Lester, and in fact, I hope this does the exact opposite. But any time I saw Lester get frustrated with his body, perhaps he would get angry and irritable. But it wouldn't be but seconds later before I heard him apologizing. This was a man of humility in his heart, a man that had love in his heart and faith. Here was a man who was not afraid to confess his sins and to apologize. At 97 years old, you can still see the man confessing his sins before God and one another. And what a joy there is in knowing that when we confess our sins before God, trusting in His grace, we are told that He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And just once more, dear friends, as we've said, that it is out of the abundance of our hearts that the mouth speaks. It's also clear that you, His family, filled His heart also. For I would say that just as often as He spoke about His Sunday morning routines with me, He would also tell me about those family pictures that you had hanging around the house. And you could tell that He had some personal favorites of His, especially those two anniversary pictures. The black and white portrait taken when, Louise, you and him first got married. And the second one taken 73 years later, the portrait that you had taken here at church last year. I could see that Lester was very fond of his family, not just by the words he spoke, but by working those 60 hours a week to provide for you. And when he wasn't working, then you could find him playing a baseball and other games with the kids in the neighborhood. Lester had a deep love for you all, desiring most of all, though, for your eternal well-being, which is why he wanted his last words to leave with you would be these: be faithful unto the end of life. He wrote those words at the bottom of his funeral planning sheet. Nothing was as important to him than that you would share in the same hope and blessings which he had, the blessed comfort of forgiven sins and life eternal. Dear friends, what a merciful God we have, that his promises remain true, and that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That he who puts their trust in Christ shall never be put to shame. That as he says, the one who believes in him, though he dies, yet shall he live. These promises, this comfort, is yours in Christ Jesus. Be faithful unto death, Lester says. Share with me in these eternal blessings. In fact, these aren't just Lester's words, but they sound familiar. For it's as Jesus says in Revelation, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 749. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Almighty God, you are a good and loving Father, And you are the God of life, as you have spoken truly, saying that you are the God of the living. And truly you love life as we see proof of it in creation. And you love life as evidenced in your amazing grace, where you can continue to put eternal life in your saints. And you continue to provide for all our needs of body and soul, sustaining life and forgiving sins. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us then a sure and certain hope that rests upon you. And bring us comfort in knowing that all who die in you, you hold in the palms of your hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Lord, you know us completely, and that we have corrupted your world, filling it with sin. You have sent your Son to die for us, and taking upon himself the punishment we deserve. And Lord, you have chosen a day wherein Jesus shall come again and put all things under his feet, and to rid creation of all sin, sorrows, pain, and tears. Lead us to look forward to that day and to rejoice. Comfort us with the truth that all who are washed by your precious blood shall live forever in your kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we thank you this morning, Father, for the many years of life that you have given and sustained in Lester. We thank you for your grace and for your Holy Spirit working in and through him as you continue to call him by your gospel. We thank you for the witness that he was to the many of us. We thank you for his faithfulness and humility in service to you, to your church, and to his family. And we ask that you would grant us your peace to know that all who die in you stand before you now in glory, where they see you face to face. And as they also have been welcomed into paradise with those most blessed words, good job, my good and faithful servant. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Lord, we thank you for giving all your people and Lester eternal life, wherein they will spend eternity with you. Be with the family and friends as they grieve his passing. As they live in this world, give them the hope and assurance that in you they will be united with Lester again. And that through Christ they shall see you face to face. For you have promised to bring all your faithful people to be one with yourself. Until that day, Lord, help them to find comfort in one another and in your word as they build each other up. Be in our conversations as we each turn to you. And lastly, God of grace, we give you thanks and praise that nothing in all of creation can separate us from you. Neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come. And so be to us, gracious Lord, our great physician, our wonderful counselor, and our Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And Lord God, our Shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, 878.